So welcome and thank you for coming to this session. We're going to be talking about designing for wearables. When you're designing for wearables, it really isn't just a matter of having a really great feature or solution and a really cool design for it, a form factor that makes it something you want to wear. It really is a balanced dance of utility. What are the features you're providing? An ecosystem. How does it interact with a larger world around it, the contextual me, and bring value to me? How does it fit in terms of form factor and acceptability? Is it something that I'm going to be proud to wear, that is part of my social brand? And lastly, is it really part of a larger system? Devices just aren't a single thing that has only one use. We use it in the context of the other devices, the rest of the world around us. So in the 40 minutes or so that we have to talk about this, what I want to do is highlight the current trends that should be factoring into your design decisions, both in terms of features and form factors and acceptability. And how are you delivering market value? And how does it play in the ecosystem in which it lives? Social acceptability is huge with wearables. And how do you design for that and think about that and call that into play? The naturalness of the function and user interaction. How do I touch it? How do I work with it? How do I get information from it? How do I learn from it? How does it make my life better and easier and less friction? And last, I want to talk about a slightly different approach to wearables design where there's other things you could be thinking about as part of the wearable, as part of the ecosystem that you're putting together. And I want to make sure you have that in mind as well. A little bit of background. I work at Symphony Telica. We're an international engineering services company providing project-based solutions to companies throughout the world, whether it is in mobile handsets and tablets, smart TVs and set-top boxes, automotive IVI systems, embedded components, or we also do cloud-based solutions where we design and host internet services for large internet companies that are out there. And a big part of it that brings us back to wearables is analytics. So we have the ability to do analytic understanding on very large data sets and match that up with social interaction and social information to really give you intelligible information that you can use in your company's businesses. We also have been active in the wearable space. There are a number of applications that we've done for the various flavors of gear. We're currently working on the weather application for the current Gear 2, as well as putting that on the Samsung Z. So we've been in this space for a while, not just with the other devices we've been doing, but in wearables itself. But enough of that, and let's go on to the dance that we need to dance. When designing for wearables, you really need to take into account the context in which this device is going to be built, marketed, sold, and operated. Specifically, some of these trends and services that you should be exploiting as part of that wearable feature, that wearable device that you're doing. And the first of that really is the network. What makes this world work is the interconnected bidirectional access and sharing of information. And your device needs to be part of that bidirectional network, that you're sending data up, you're getting context down that can be shared with the user and work to solve a problem for them and make their lives easier. The second one is the cloud, and that's a key part of this, that you need to think of the cloud not just as a thing out there, but really the world's largest coprocessor, the world's largest storage site, and make that part of your overall solution set. And when you've got that data out there and you're using that coprocessor, you're using it to do analytics, both on the data that you're sending up from your device, on the larger context in which the user's operating, their location, their presence, their social network, their schedule, their calendar, where they are at any given point in time, and use that along with the data that's being provided, and also in terms of building social communities for that user that they want to be in to create a larger solution set. And last is the fab and maker movement. A lot of us, when we're thinking about wearables, we're thinking about, I need to get 1 million of them out or 2 million of them out. They need to be able to be bought at Best Buy. Well, scale works really well when everybody needs your thing. But if you have just one or two functions, maybe it's not something that everyone needs, but 10 people need. And that's okay because they need it. And with the kind of models we have with fab and maker movements today, we can make 10 of them in an economically viable way. So don't just think big solution, big market. Think ways that you can tune solutions for very micro markets and take advantage of that. Other transit services to be aware of is the cognitive load that people have. We've got tons of devices on us and huge amounts of information that we have to work through as part of our daily lives. So when you're building your device, are you adding to the cognitive load of your users, or are you making life easier for them, reducing friction? Are you making it possible for them to get information without having to pull their phone out of the pocket, open it up, navigate to where they want to go? Do you make it easier for them? Another one is personal presence and context. So I said a little bit of that earlier. What's the person's calendar? Where are they going? What's their location? Who are their friends? What are they trying to do? And take advantage of that contextual me. And to the extent that you can bring that to another form factor that's glanceable or easily drilled down on, you're making their lives better. And that's a key aspect of what wearables are meant to be. And the last one is social convention. So a lot of value from the wearables comes from what it means in terms of my personal brand. Do I look good wearing this, or do I look weird looking this? Does it attract people or turn them off? And can I build communities around the data that comes from this so that there's a larger social world that supports my use of the wearable and the information I'm getting off of it, especially in the healthcare market where I'm trying to maybe sleep better or lose weight. And it's a lot easier to do that if you have a social community that's supporting you even as you're supporting them. So build that into your use models and the larger ecosystem you're working in. So with that, designing for wearables is easy, isn't it? There's just a huge abundance of first-order use cases, whether it's the activity monitors, incoming call notification, or my calendar, or directions of where I'm going, or games, or things like that. There's just a lot of well-understood first use cases that you can pick from and build on and learn from. So it's also pretty easy from a hardware design viewpoint. You're not building a $700 cell phone or a $1,000 set-top box. You're building a simple wearable device with embedded processors, some sensors in it, maybe a screen, some light interaction kinds of models. It doesn't take a lot of money to build these things, and you can have a lot of freedom to really experiment. And last is there's many ongoing projects that one can learn from. And it's not just the last 2 or 3 or 4 years, the last 20 years. If you go out there's been decades of research in form factors and function and features and just how wearables can work and don't work. So take advantage of that research that's out there. I was at a conference on the Internet of Things that was put on by O'Reilly a few weeks ago, and the CTO from Plantronics was there, and he brought out how when Neil Armstrong was walking on the moon, he was wearing a Plantronics headset, a wearable device. So it's been there for a while. Learn from what other people have done with it. On the other hand, as we all know, it really is a hard proposition, and it's hard because designing a sticky solution is hard. How we create features that work with people, that they use, you really have to solve for how much real marketable value is being delivered. Is it something that I want to continue using month 2, month 3, month 4, and so on? Is there a viable model for creating an ecosystem? So these devices, as I said, they're not a singleton kind of thing. They're really meant to be part of the larger world we're working in, the contextual me. And do you, as a developer working for a company, or if you're a startup, do you have a model in which this device will live, that a larger ecosystem where you create communities? Or is there an ecosystem that you can leverage that's already there that your device could be part of? And then you have to think about the social acceptability of the wearable. Is it something that enhances the brand of me, or does it detract from my social interaction with other people? Also, how natural is the user interaction model? We've got more than 100 years of glancing at watches. Take advantage of that. Don't try to create an interaction model that doesn't work for, you know, a really small screen if I'm playing a deeply immersive game. And then last is, what is the product market entry point? And I was working with a silicon provider in their office in Silicon Valley, and that was their big question, is what's my market entry point? Well, think small, think experimental, and then build up from that. And whether it's a smart watch or a wearable band or some kind of jewelry that you wear or some other adjunct to the clothing that we wear, pick one and just start playing with it and build a community and let them give you feedback on it. So when I think about wearables, I generally think about three categories of devices. First is the sensor-based devices, whether it's the activity bands or a Misfit jewelry or just embedded sensors in general. They're used for getting information about us to the outside world. The second category is notification devices or light interaction devices, and the watch is a good example of that, a smart watch, where I have some ability to do interaction with it. It has ability to get information back to me, that contextual me that I want to use. But it's a light interaction device. And the third category is the deeply immersive experience devices, such as epitomized with Google Glass, that can serve as alternatives to the interaction model that we have with the smartphones that we use today, that they really can be a replacement for that, in a sense. So drilling down in those, in terms of what we talked about earlier, of ecosystem and interaction model and social aspects, these sensor-based devices really are just meant for monitoring and reporting data, maybe some light notification, an alarm or buzz, based on something you program into it from the cloud. But they're really meant to be mostly a passive interaction device. But cloud-based aspects is really key to the value they deliver. So I can't see what I get from the sensor on the wearable, but I can go to another site in the cloud and get analytics based on the data that's been sent up and really put that together as a social community. And that social-based aspects from a social acceptability, benign at worst, even supportive at best, you know, people, you got a sports band on, what are you doing with that? You know, what are you getting from it? People are interested. It opens up the doors, expands your social interaction model. And it gives you, and then through the cloud-based services on that, through the larger ecosystem, you have that social sharing of process sensor data, building up communities of use and support. For light interaction devices, characteristics is now you're starting to bring the contextual meat to the device where I can see it and use it and interact with it. And it can ease my life or reduce friction in terms of getting the information I want and use without a lot of interaction I might have to do with the smartphone or going to a website. They can serve for platforms as sensors too, and we're starting to see that in more and more of the smartphones that we're seeing. In kind of a limited way, but the sensors are there and there's things you can do with it. Interaction model, touch, swipe, shake, even talking to it. Cloud-based aspects still play an even more important part than they did in the sensor-based devices, where it really is taking advantage of analyzed information about the contextual me, bringing that to me in a way that I can consume in an easy way. Social-based aspects, it should be attractive to social acceptability, but to the extent that it's still a big black device, maybe not so much. So it's different, and we need to move it from different to more of the similar. But because of the sensor information it gets, because of it does play with contextual me, it can enhance my social sharing and social life outside of the immediate group of people around me that see what I'm doing. And then on the deeply immersive experience devices, rich image video capability, deep information and drill down, very rich bidirectional internet communication, you don't need that cell phone to tether you to get to the outside world with it. It really can be a replacement device to the smartphone for a lot of the information, the contextual information you want to consume, and even content you might want to generate. Touch, multi-directional swipe, motion, facial gestures, voice. It has a very rich interaction model that you can take advantage of. And cloud-based aspects even more so than we have with the smartwatches. Social-based aspects, though, that's more troubling. So because they're new, they're different, they don't fit with the standard kinds of fashion that we wear in terms of jewelry and such, it's perceived as being very different. And it can be intrusive, especially, way too much overplay on it, but the idea that you have a camera can be off-putting to people. You know, if you walk into a situation, you have the glass device on, are you taking a video of me? I don't know. So one of the key things messages here for designing is have a physical way to be very visible that the camera is off on devices that have cameras. So switching now into more of the factors we talked about earlier applied to these different types of devices, marketable value delivered is really important. It really has to be all about the value that you're delivering. And there's too much confusion today or not enough real good analytic thought about what are the tasks that are appropriate to the device at hand. So a sensor-based device, that's pretty simple. You're gathering information from the device to the outside world. But smartwatches, to some extent, there's been focus on putting anything I can possibly put on the device. And you're not really going to get a great game experience with a limited interaction model and a very small screen. So think about what is appropriate for the device itself that offloads from another device and it makes my life easier. Reducing friction in my daily life, that's got to be key. And expanding, enhancing my social interaction with others, enhancing the brand of me. And what we've seen is in sensor-based devices, too much of a focus just on healthcare, activity monitoring. And even though, yes, there's color to them, they're still too similar to each other. And I thought we'd gone through that experience with the smartphones where for too long, everyone was making a black device. So what we need to do is go beyond one or two use cases and make them a use case that can be refreshed and renewed and changed over time. And so more about that is the wearable devices, when they're sensors, should be hosting a context of me. So the sensor device, I walk into my office, my favorite coffee shop, my home, it should know that I'm there and take advantage of me being there and set up the environment the way I want it set up. So cascading effects based on that context of me. Another way of looking at that is if I'm at home and we're all watching TV and then gradually we go off to do other things, the TV should be able to know based on the sensor information about my location and my kids' location that we're no longer in the room and at least mute the TV, if not turn it into, just put it into sleep mode. So wearables also have an opportunity to enhance safety and capability. So think about wearables in an automotive sense where it could be tracking my general awakeness and if it starts to sense that I may be drowsing off, alert me so that I could be a better, safer driver out there. Also, a real part of the marketable value delivered is as you enhance the use cases over time and refresh the capabilities of the device, take advantage of opt-in models so that people step into the new use case and make that part of their life and talk about it and share it with their friends. Because if you don't do all that, you have this ecosystem viability problem where you get a really rapid drop-off in the use of the device over time before it gets ingrained as a habit in their lives. And there's any number of articles out there about how devices aren't working for people after the first couple of weeks. Not that they don't work, but they're not working for people in terms of reducing friction in their lives and bringing real value. So success speaks really to the viability of the ecosystem you're creating or leveraging. You don't have to create your own ecosystem. There's plenty out there. Join that and be part of that. And part of that model, I don't know if you can see it in the back of the room, but I saw this the other day and thought it was really appropriate. The guy saying, hey, I've got a new smartwatch. But then he's saying, but my phone doesn't like it. And with respect to Samsung and the really great work that they're pioneering in wearable spaces, because I forgot to bring my Samsung phone with me to this conference, I wasn't really able to connect my Gear 2 up to my iPhone or my Nexus 5 phone. So think about that model. So the key themes in terms of economic viability is it's not just what your device could do, but what it enables within a larger ecosystem. All that normalized data that's being generated from it, the new context that can be created, and the social interaction that it supports, and the social communities it builds up. Think of what IKEA has done by getting customers involved in the design, the creation of new products, and take advantage of that for your wearable device, where you get an ecosystem out there, get people involved in it, get people who want to contribute and are keenly bought into your goals to help you design what you're doing, and use that to build up the value proposition. Next is really take advantage of open APIs and loose coupling. The internet wasn't founded as one common homogeneous network. It was a set of networks that were brought together in a way that, through loose coupling, to be able to share data across their different implementations. Do that for your devices as well. I really liked what I saw at the Samsung Home demo downstairs, where they had the air conditioner and the vacuum cleaner, and refrigerator, and your watch, and everything else working together, not highly tied together, but loosely coupled together in a way that you could take advantage of what one did, interact with it through different devices, and make a system happen. Forcing users to buy a new set of accessories creates a barrier to continued use. So if I have to buy, again, sorry Samsung, but I'm going to use that as an example. If I have to buy a Samsung smartphone to be able to use my Samsung smartwatch, that's an inhibitor to it. Whereas if I could use it with any phone out there, I'll drop the dollars to buy it and play with it. And then key is also, remember, it doesn't have to be your ecosystem. Great if it is, but there's a lot of exciting work that's happening out there that's being pioneered, pioneered by others, such as Polar, for example. Make your device work within their ecosystem, or open up your ecosystem for other devices to be able to work with you and get that synergistic effect, building a system of systems. So next, social accessibility. A Dilbert cartoon from a couple weeks ago. The problem is not with the device we're making, but maybe the perception of the people that are wearing the devices that it's going to be really cool. It's not necessarily going to be such. You need to be really factoring in how wearables expand our social interactions and not change them necessarily in negative ways. The function needs to follow the form, not the other way around. So put those two together and think of yourselves as being in a conference room, in a meeting, and your boss glances at his watch as you're talking. That's a social cue that we've ingrained that says, oh, I better speed up my presentation or get to the point. But it's kind of socially acceptable in meetings to look at your phone for email or notifications, or look at your notebook for email notifications. And people are going to naturally gravitate to that with their watch if notifications are on that. But the social clue is, you, the speaker, better speed up your presentation. So we need to really be aware of that and think about how we take advantage of that and how we don't make mistakes based on that. So that leads to the naturalness of the user interaction model. Light interaction devices are meant to be just that, light interaction, where I touch it, I glance at it, I may swipe a little bit to drill down quickly, but if I want deeper information, I go to a device that's more appropriate for me to get that access to that deeper information. On the other hand, if you have a deeply immersive device, such as glass, that lets you get at that information in a very deep way through a set of micro interactions, then you're delivering value in that kind of context, where I don't have to pull the phone out because I've got the glass in front of me and I can get to what I want to get to in a very easy way. You're reducing the friction in our lives. A different approach that I haven't really seen people using, among them are the use of color. So, 10 years ago, longer than that, 12 years ago, I had found out about a device that sat on your desktop called the Ambient Orb. Basically, it was the globe that had multicolored LEDs in it and a pager radio. And you could set it up through a website to change colors based on the events that were out there, like the state of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Green was very good. Red was not so good. Amber was kind of in between. And it was really interesting to me as a way to help people understand that information could be perceived by people that didn't have to be captured within the bezel of a screen. And I use that a lot to try to open up people's minds about different ways to think about how we access the knowledge that we want to get to. So in that context, think about my wife and I being at a movie theater or a concert, and a date night for us, and my watch bezel starts to glow lightly green in a very sort of non-intrusive way. That's a signal to me from my babysitter that the kid has been put to bed. So information conveyed, I've got good knowledge, I'm happy, my wife and I are reassured, but it's not intrusive, and it's delivered through a smart wearable device. Also remember that wearables can fit into the broader category of the Internet of Things, building a system of systems. So just as Uber has really built a great solution out of drivers and people who want rides and recommendation systems and mapping services and the like, you can do the same with these devices. So I talked earlier about walking out of the family room and the TV shuts itself off, but also similarly, the activity monitor tells my wife that I'm out jogging, so she's going to wait to call me until I'm done to tell me to go to the grocery store to pick up the groceries that the refrigerator has ordered for us. Put those systems together and take advantage of it. And then use rapid prototyping to build out that feature set in collaboration with your customers and partners. So your customers are excited about this. They want to help you. Take advantage of that. But also make sure that you are continuing to deliver new value, continue to make your systems relevant, your solutions relevant. So these sensor-based devices, sport activity monitors, they're really great at putting dashboards out about my activity and what I've been doing. But if that dashboard doesn't change in terms of what it tells me 1 month later or 2 months later or 3 months later, I'm going to get tired of going to that. Similarly, if it's sending me alerts that are the same alert, after the 10th time, I'm going to start ignoring it. So you really need to think about how you refresh your device, how you change it over time, how you take advantage of the larger ecosystem, other people who want to bring value and ride your coattails. That's a good thing because it brings new value to what you're trying to sell. So putting it all together, we use these devices because they do bring value and they do reduce friction in our lives. If they don't bring value, if they don't reduce friction, then they're not going to be used. So as part of that, social plays a huge role in the adoption and in the ability to refresh what a device does over time. You build communities of use through these things that engage people and make them want to come back and continue to use your devices. Similarly, to do that, the ecosystem plays a huge role in terms of the larger world it lives in, how we refresh the devices, how we get new value from them, how other people take advantage of your device to build new systems of systems. And then understand the limitations and strengths of the natural interaction device. So don't try to make it do things that are better done on a different device, but do take advantage of the naturalness of information at a glance or a slight touch to be able to build on that contextual me and deliver that information that makes my life easier to do or quicker to react to what changes that need to do. And think about how we can use other systems, other devices, systems of systems, color to convey information, not just words on a screen or pictures. So closing, go beyond the ordinary. Build the thing that you want to build, extend it, expand it, make it your dream system. But keep it refreshed and keep it going, and we're happy to help you with it. Thank you. So, any questions? Yes.
Where do you see wearable device form factors going beyond things that men wear on their wrists?
Right.
I've been trying for 20 years to convince hardware engineers that there are people out there whose clothes don't routinely come with pockets.
Yes.
They have smaller hands and things like that. Because my phone is in my purse, and I can't stand any of these watches. I want pendants.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's real important to remember that people, that personal brand, that these things are jewelry. And as you said, for guys,
yeah. It's not jewelry, it has to be practical.
It has to be practical, right. So so think about an earring that has a speaker in it that tells you things. So it looks nice, it's fashionable, but it has utility. So I think that's one of the areas where it's going. Certainly the sensor-based things, that can be a ring, a necklace that you wear. It can be sensors embedded in the clothing that you wear, the coats that you wear, or a brooch that you attach to what you're doing. So it can be part of it. And we need to be thinking beyond wristbands and these. But so I think it is going that way in terms of jewelry or other form factors besides, you know, these. This is important because guys will wear watches. It's a man's watch. But if you make these things too bulky to fit through sleeves easily or look ugly on your wrist, it's not going to be worn by the larger community out there. And I think we're moving from the experimentation of feature first and going now into form factor first and then see what features make sense within that form factor. We're seeing that transition. Yeah, I know, we need to move faster. Well, thank you for attending, and hope you enjoy the rest of the presentations that are occurring today. And I'll be here if you have any further questions. Thank you.